Developer Podcast, the podcast where we talk about new and exciting technologies, professional development, clean code, career advancement, and more. I am John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.
With us today is Ashley Grant. Ashley is a developer, pilot, Aurelia community lead, Microsoft MVP, motorsports enthusiast, and Florida State Seminole. Welcome, Ashley.
Hi there.
So before we get started, why don't you tell us about yourself? Kind of how you got started in the industry.
I'm a software developer down here in Tallahassee, Florida. Spent my entire career here in Tallahassee, actually. I got started in the same way that a lot of developers do. I got a computer science degree in college and started looking at the landscape in Tallahassee and saw that consulting was a good spot to be. There was a decent amount of money to be made here. It's the capital of the state of Florida, and there was a lot of government contracts. So I got into that, worked in state government contracts for about 10 years and started getting bored. I'd attended some conferences and saw that this whole JavaScript spa thing looked fun. Sent out a couple emails, got in touch with the guys behind Aurelia. Suddenly, I have become part of the core team for a JavaScript framework, and it's been a heck of a ride for the last 3 years.
Yeah, and we'll jump back into the Aurelia thing here in a few minutes. We're recording this episode a week after the Microsoft Build Conference. Wanted to see if you guys caught any of the festivities or any of the live streaming videos.
So I wasn't able to, but John, did you?
Yeah, actually, I watched a fair amount of the live stream videos while I was doing some work and caught some of the bigger announcements and bigger demonstrations and things. Got to watch Scott Guthrie hold the microphone for Scott Hanselman. Saw I think, one of the demonstrations or presentations by Donovan Brown. A couple of the big names out there. Saw some interesting things coming out of the Azure side of things and a lot of general excitement and progress being made by everyone at Microsoft these days.
Yeah, there was definitely some really exciting announcements, especially in the Azure space. But I think that the most exciting thing to come out of Build this year has been Microsoft Yoga. What are you guys? I know I'm the one being interviewed here, but what are you guys' thoughts on Microsoft Yoga?
Yeah, I was actually working from home the day. I'm assuming they only did that once, but I was working from home. I think that was on Monday, and my wife was watching, and we were both watching together. And I think I'd gone to the kitchen to get something to drink and came back and saw that the yoga was happening and thought, well, that was interesting.
Yeah, I don't think the pants would look very good on me.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. In my opinion, I think that when a keynote is so long that you have to have a stretching break, that's a sign that your keynote is too long. Microsoft, through the years, has really stretched how long a keynote can be. And I think that they've finally hit the breaking point on it. I also watched the keynote from Google I.O. because both of these conferences were last week. I was so refreshed after the Google I.O. keynote. It was only about an hour and 45 minutes, and it was well packed in there and lots of cool stuff.
Well, now that we no longer have Steve Jobs out there, I think a lot of people are struggling with their one more thing or keeping the audience entertained as a result. I attended a WWDC many years ago when Jobs was still alive and gave a keynote, and it was very entertaining, and I was very happy to be there. Seems like, you know, Satya is a great leader for sure, but I must admit I kind of tuned out during a lot of his keynote.
It was a strange feeling for me to be so excited about the future and the things that Microsoft's doing in the cloud, and yet at the same time, just wondering when it was all going to be over.
The cloud or just the keynote?
Just the keynote. I'm excited about the stuff that they announced. I just, you know, there wasn't any like bathroom breaks or anything, so... That's a long time to go. It was an hour longer than Infinity War.
Did you actually go to Build, or did you just watch from home?
This year I watched from home, but I did see a couple tweets where people were complaining that people were getting up and leaving in the middle of the keynote.
I mean, you got to go. You got to go.
Exactly. I mean, I've attended Build a number of times. The last time was in 2015. That was another year with a really long keynote. And I remember being very happy when that keynote finally ended. And I think that was only a 2.5 hour keynote. Microsoft really needs to work on trimming the fat from their keynotes, in my opinion.
While you were at Build during that time, did you get a chance to take any selfies with any celebrities?
You know, my favorite story from the last time I went to Build was I got to go out to dinner with Mads Christensen. I had struck up a Twitter friendship with him, mainly because I was having issues with his Web Essentials extension for Visual Studio. And it ended up with us. We all went out to the House of Prime Rib for dinner during that Build. That was a great conversation. And also, it's amazing how much that guy likes red meat.
Don't we all, though?
Prime Rib's where it's at.
All right. So let's dig into the meat. So you are a Aurelia community lead. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what that is and how you got involved with them?
Okay. So Aurelia is, as I mentioned earlier, it is a JavaScript framework for building single page applications. For a while there in the JavaScript world, it seemed like there were new JavaScript frameworks coming out every day. There was a joke that if you put two JavaScript developers in an elevator, by the time the door opened, they'd have created three JavaScript frameworks. And we came out of that. We are a fully featured framework for building any type of single page application you want. So we utilize the MVVM pattern to help you build your applications through the use of strong data binding. If you have experience as a Silverlight developer or a XAML developer and you're familiar with the data binding and the MVVM programming model, you'll feel right at home, especially if you've ever used Caliburn or Caliburn Micro while building Silverlight applications. Because the same guy that built Caliburn and Caliburn Micro started the Aurelia framework, Rob Eisenberg. As the community lead on Aurelia, my job is speaking at conferences, teaching people about Aurelia, going on Twitter, helping people out there whenever they have issues with using the framework or they're having trouble learning certain aspects, answering Stack Overflow questions in our Gitter channel and our discourse, getting in there and trying to help people out with that. It's been really fun. I've made a ton of friends over the past couple of years just from being the community lead. I've been to places I never would have imagined going before. Nowadays, when I go to Amsterdam, I have a friend whose house I can stay at. And that if I had told myself, if I could go back in time 5 years and tell myself that, I wouldn't believe it. It really has been an honor, and it continues to be an honor to be the community lead for the framework. We're not, you know, one of the top in terms of user base frameworks out there, like a React or an Angular 2 or Angular 6 now that you may have heard of. But we have a strong, faithful, and I would say rabid user base of developers who, for their own reasons, varied or the same, they love Aurelia and they choose to stick with us. Like I said, it's been an honor to be the community lead for the framework and act, if nothing else, as a liaison between the core team and the community.
That sounds pretty neat. It sounds kind of like a technical evangelist. Is the community lead a full-time position? Are you actually hired by Aurelia or?
I am not. It is a volunteer position. I do my career nowadays is I run my own consulting firm and I have clients. All of my clients use Aurelia for building applications. And so my consulting work helps pay for me to be able to go and speak at conferences, spend time doing unpaid work to help the Aurelia community.
Okay, awesome. So if most people have heard about Angular, and I'd say most of the people that have heard about Angular have also probably heard about React. Aurelia is one of the, I guess, lesser known ones along with Vue. If someone was somewhat familiar with Angular, either 1 or 2 plus, or somewhat familiar with React, how do those relate to Aurelia? And what kind of applications might they choose Aurelia for, even though some of their applications are using the other frameworks?
So that's a great question. One of the places that I find Aurelia really excels is in business applications, forms over data. The data binding and the MVVM pattern lends itself well to that type of application. They're not the most exciting applications that people build. I believe they are the majority of applications that developers are building out there. Most of us are building, at the end of the day, forms over data. We're building data entry applications. We offer some unique advantages compared to some of our competition. For example, React is a Vue library, and it's very good. I like when I work with React, but React is not an entire framework. You kind of have to build your own framework around React, whether it's making your own decisions or basing it upon those who have come before you and, or shall we say, those who have blogged before you to give you the advice on what you should choose. There isn't a blessed path with React. And for some developers, that's either scary or a non-starter. And so for those developers, you know, you might look towards a Vue or a Angular or an Aurelia. Now, when it comes to Aurelia versus, say, Angular, one of the things that Aurelia keys on is convention over configuration, whereas Angular is I would almost say, configuration over convention. There are pluses and minuses on both sides of those. For example, all of the boilerplate that you write with an Angular application, whether it's you writing it by hand or your tooling is helping you, that boilerplate does help provide a really strong tooling environment. You get a lot of, your tooling is able to help you out from that. For us on the Aurelia team, as we build out tooling, for example, Visual Studio Code plugins, it's a little bit more difficult for us because we don't force you to tell us everything that you're going to do. As you build your components for your Aurelia application, things just work. And the convention over configuration is great because it really does reduce the amount of code that you have to write. The other thing that's nice when you look at, for example, Aurelia over specifically Angular and React is that the Aurelia team, we are not financed by a big tech company. And I know that a lot of developers might consider that to be a disadvantage. I personally feel it is an advantage because that means that our community drives the development direction of the framework compared to, for example, with React, Facebook's needs at the end of the day are what drive the direction that React takes. And the same with Angular, Google's Green Tea application, how they sell AdSense, that at the end of the day is what drives the development of Angular. But on the Aurelia side of things, our community, if our community wants stuff, we push to develop it.
Is there like a style guide or anything to help you get started? I know what I started with AngularJS a few years ago and followed rather closely to John Papa's style guide. And that was a big help in getting started. I've since been doing a lot of React, and starting with something like the Create React app is a big help to someone that's new to the library. Is there something similar?
We don't really have a style guide per se. It would almost be impossible for us to create one because we on the core team don't necessarily agree on the correct way to build an Aurelia application. We have differing opinions on where to place files, what folder structure you should use. That being said, we do have a CLI. The Aurelia CLI will give you a standard Aurelia application. Nowadays, you can choose between Webpack or Require.js. You can choose between TypeScript and ECMAScript. We give you those options. With that application that you build, that you get, you do get something of a style guide in there with the folder structure that comes with that. That being said, you're not stuck with the folder structure. If that doesn't work for you and you want to use something else, there's nothing in that application that forces it upon you. And I think that is one of the strengths of Aurelia is some people want to put their pages in individual folders. Other people want to sort their application by features. And Aurelia doesn't care how you do it. It's going to work just the same.
It seems like one of the benefits there are you can use sort of native JavaScript to kind of hold on to, and Aurelia doesn't really begin to influence the actual logic that you're writing.
If I might interrupt you, we let you focus on writing your code. Your employer does not pay you to babysit a framework. They pay you to build applications. And that's what Aurelia allows you to focus on is the business logic, business rules of your application. The conventions of the framework allow the framework to get out of your way. I have a talk I've given across the world where I build an Aurelia application. It's a very simple application, has two pages in it, one of which is just a simple form where you put your first and last name in, and you can click a button and it'll pop up and say hello. And in this talk, I show how that, with almost no code changes, that component goes from being the entire application to being a page in the application to then being a custom element inside itself with only two lines of code changing during the entire demo. We get out of your way.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, so I mean, obviously the other new kid on the block is Vue, being very limited and opinionated in kind of the same way. One of the other strengths there is Vue seems to be able to be something you can add in to a legacy app, and it plays very well with whatever you're using currently. How well does Aurelia, do you have some of those same opportunities there?
Yeah, we have an Enhance API that allows you to sprinkle Aurelia into your web page. It's well supported, but it really isn't necessarily the way I would personally recommend building an application, but it is there and provides you with the same type of experience you can get with a React or a Vue. That being said, we do utilize a lot of ES 2015 features, for example, classes. And so if you want to have a developer experience and production experience where you're not using any type of transpiler, for example, Babel or TypeScript, you're going to be limited typically to using modern browsers that support those features out of the box.
Which is all you should be using anyway.
Oh, I wish.
I think a lot of people would be surprised at just how much of modern JavaScript is supported today in the browsers. In the last week, Firefox, Edge, and Chrome now all support natively things like JavaScript modules, loading JavaScript modules, async await, all of these things. You can use them natively without having to transpile them.
That's fantastic. I knew you could do it in Chrome because I was playing around with building a Mario clone, and they were using the tutorial I was following was using ES 2015 plus modules. That's really cool that you can do it in all the browsers now.
Yeah, it's not a seamless experience currently. From what I've seen, for example, you have to put .js when you import a module, which is different from how most JavaScript developers are used to it. But that's something that's easily worked around.
Yeah, I could totally deal with that. It's as long as the code works natively. That's really awesome. Going back to something you were saying earlier about the Aurelia not being super opinionated about how you should write the code. I'm currently doing Angular development, Angular 6, and that is one of my frustrations with the Angular framework, especially after 2.0, is that they've kind of like, no, you must write the application the way that we want you to write the application. And they encourage so much coupling between my business logic, or what I consider to be my business logic, and their framework. I can't get away from it. And I can't get away from third-party libraries like RxJS. You know, like the entire dev team is using RxJS. I don't know if you've used Angular at all recently, but Angular 6 uses RxJS 6, and they totally broke their whole API, which meant that we spent a week and a half changing our code. It's very frustrating. When I first looked into Aurelia, I got really, really excited because at least with the to-do app example that's on the website, which is laid out wonderfully, I might add, there was nothing but just JavaScript and you know, a little bit of HTML decoration. It was a beautiful thing. My code could be my code, and the framework just kind of used my code. It didn't take over my code. I absolutely loved that.
Yeah, actually, in your JavaScript code, the framework getting out of your way is a really strong thing for Aurelia. On the HTML side, as you mentioned, we do have a templating and binding system, and that's another powerful thing. You wouldn't have seen it in a to-do list application. We have demos where you can build a completely data-driven UI. You could ship via an API. You can ship a JSON object over that describes the UI you want to build, pass that to the binding engine, and with 20 lines of code, you can actually create a dynamically data-driven API straight from JavaScript. And that those are the sorts of things that the very strict approach that, for example, Angular uses, their design decisions make something like that not possible. But, you know, every design decision has pros and cons. Like I said, with the design decisions of the Angular team, you get a much stronger tooling experience than is easily possible for us on the Aurelia team to provide. It is possible for us to provide those strong tooling experiences. It's just harder code for us to write because we're not asking you to tell us everything about your code. We have to go and figure it out.
Yeah, well, and sometimes those really involve tooling processes like the CLIs that Angular, React, and Ember have. They're also kind of a crutch because where I work, we couldn't use the Angular CLI. We needed features that it didn't provide, which meant that I had to go and spend 3 weeks trying to figure out how to get Angular to work without using the CLI. And I've also experienced the same kind of thing with React. So, you know, initially you can use the React CLI, but then you have to eject yourself from it in order to accomplish certain things like swapping out the test framework that you want to use. And then once you eject, you're stuck. You're responsible for maintaining all of that stuff.
Well, and it's an interesting problem, I have to say, from the framework perspective. We actually are on our CLI team, we're considering moving to an experience a lot like Create React App, where if you are on the blessed path, we handle everything and it's very, very easy. But if you need to eject yourself from that, you would, for the most part, be on your own, but you would still, just like with Create React App, you're left with a fully working application to start out. But it's a tough problem. It's a tough nut to solve because you can't build a CLI like that typically, okay, that solves everyone's problems. Currently, with the Aurelia CLI, if you choose Webpack, we give you a fairly easy solution for modifying how the CLI works. Our CLI is built upon gulp tasks, which I know they're not the new hotness nowadays. Everybody's using NPM scripts. But if you understand gulp, you can easily go in. There's an Aurelia project folder, and you can add new commands. You can modify how the existing commands work. And then as well, if you're using Webpack, we just give you a Webpack config file and you can modify that as you need. When I was first learning how to use Webpack with the CLI, that really came in handy for me because I was looking at an application that I had migrated over to Webpack, and I was seeing really big bundle sizes, and I wanted to know what was up with that. So I needed to include the Webpack bundle analyzer, and it was no more difficult for me to add the Webpack bundle analyzer to an Aurelia CLI application than it would have been to use any other boilerplate for Webpack, because I have a Webpack config and I just added it in there. I think we should talk after this podcast.
Well, like what I would like to see is something like how you configure Babel, or at least how you used to configure Babel, right? So you'd say, I want to use this CLI, but I want to add in this option, right? So here's a instead of Mocha, I want to use Jasmine. So I'll add in the Jasmine test configurator, you know, whatever you want to call it, and there's just some simple config file, you know, like dot Aurelia or Aurelia.config or something like that, right?
It's Aurelia.json.
However you want to handle it. And then with that, you would just in there, you could just say, oh yeah, and use this plugin to the CLI and use that plugin to the CLI and use that plugin to the CLI and modify your build process. And that way, it'd be really simple for a user who didn't know about all the build pipeline to be able to just import something that somebody else had done, and they don't lose the support of continued updates from the official, in this case, Aurelia team.
That's a direction that our CLI team is strongly considering. As I said, we are also looking at the Create React App side of things, that style of development. That being said, we do currently give you, when you build your project, we give you the option of, as I said, choosing ECMAScript or TypeScript. Choosing your module bundler require JS or Webpack. And I believe we do give you the option of choosing a test runner. The options are there. I think you have a good idea, though, of some plugin stuff. That being said, if you were to go and just quickly new up an Aurelia project, I think you might be surprised at how easy it is to do exactly what you're asking for with minimal modifications to the code that's generated by the CLI. And you would still be able to build your application and run your application during development using the CLI itself.
I'll have to look at it again. I'm sure it's been at least a couple months since I've looked at Aurelia. I got really, really excited and then work happened. And so I haven't gotten to play with it. I do not remember the configuration from when I was doing that, but I did thoroughly enjoy the experience as far as I got into it though. So.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a delicate balance in delivering enough functionality and remaining unopinionated in what you deliver.
Strong opinions weakly held, I think, is how a lot of people would say that. Our framework, if you walk the path of our conventions, we make your life easy. But the problem with that type of approach typically is that as soon as you try to get off the blessed path of the conventions, you're going to have a bad time. And the great thing with Aurelia is that overriding the conventions inside your application code is extremely simple. An example of a convention that we have is when you're building a component, like a custom element, the name of your custom element by convention is based on the class name. We take the class name. If you have my foo custom element is your class name, we strip custom element off the end of it and then convert from init caps to kebab case. So it becomes my dash foo, and that's your custom element name. And that's great for a lot of situations, but there's also plenty of developers out there who want to be explicit about that. And so we offer a decorator that you just pass a string to and say, this is what my custom element is going to be named. And whatever you pass to that decorator, that's your custom element name. And then on top of that, at the time that you go and use a custom element, for example, maybe you've built your own custom element, and for different parts of your application, you happen to have two custom elements that end up with the same name. That can be a problem for you. But we make it really easy for you in your view to override the name of any component. There's a require element that you use to pull in components into a view or resources into a view. And you just simply put an as attribute on that HTML element. And whatever you pass into that attribute becomes the name of that component, and it overrides any conventions or any explicit configuration.
Yeah, and you got to have strong pull request and code reviews, because you're going to get some people doing snake case and some people doing kebab case. And
we have a strong bit of code to convert between the various cases. One of the problems we have is dealing with the disparity between HTML, which is a case insensitive language, and JavaScript, which is case sensitive. And so that's why we, for example, when you have a component class name, we convert that from init caps to dash case. When you have a bindable property that would be an attribute on a custom element, that gets converted from camel case to kebab case. And we also do the reverse. The conventions allow you to get that out of the box, but again, there are decorators that allow you to override all of that if you so choose.
Great. So are there any resources out there that you'd like to recommend for us?
So the best place to go to get started with Aurelia would be our website, the Aurelia.io site. We have some great documentation there. Our documentation is so great, the application so great, that Microsoft came in and hired Rob Eisenberg and Jeremy Daniel from our team to help build the Microsoft Docs site. So those of you who have seen the resurgence of Microsoft's documentation over the last year, you should be pretty excited by looking at Aurelia, because a lot of the ideas that are in Microsoft's docs came out of the Aurelia project and our documentation.
Yeah, so we're going to ask you about kind of some advice. But before I do, I wanted to ask you a little bit about kind of when you were getting started in the industry. You talked about consulting, getting into consulting. And then you also mentioned that you're now doing, you have your own consulting. Have you always done independent consulting, or what is your kind of experience in the realm of consulting there?
So I started out working for a consulting company, a local firm here in Tallahassee. For a while, I worked at one of the big name international firms for a very short while. That was not a very long stint. I have been independent more or less for the last 10 years now. It's been rough at times, but the good times have definitely outweighed the bad times. Especially in the last 3 years, as I've moved from being a .NET focused consultant over and moved from being focused on state government to doing private consulting, it's been one heck of a ride. I recently spent a week in Gold Coast working Gold Coast, Australia, working with a client, and that was just amazing.
I bet. So what really helped you kind of make that transition, or what drove that transition for you? And I mean, obviously, it's a transition you're continuing. So.
The biggest thing that got me to transition out of state government contracting, frankly, was boredom. Government jobs, oftentimes, you come in with great expectations, and then you realize that the stuff they brought you in to create isn't actually going to happen, and then you end up just sitting in a desk for 40 hours a week. It's good money if you can get it, but I was kind of tired of it, and I wanted to go out and do new and exciting things and build using new technology and everything. And chose to, out of my own pocket, attend a developer conference called Dev Intersection. Spent a week there learning a lot of stuff and came out of it really refreshed. And the next week, I contacted Rob Eisenberg, and here I am on the team.
Awesome. So do you have any specific advice for someone who's getting started in the industry? What words of wisdom would you give them?
Never stop learning. I mean, the fact that they're listening to this podcast here, that's a great start. One of the biggest things I did as a young developer was get into listening to podcasts. I was a .NET focused developer, so I did a lot of .NET Rocks. And I was able to stay on top of new technology and new patterns and practices that many of my colleagues had never heard of and probably never would hear of, because you know they had a set of skills and they were perfectly happy with that set of skills. So as long as you're always learning, you'll never grow stale.
Thank you for that. Is there other ways that our listeners might be able to follow you or kind of get in touch with you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Ashley M. Grant. You can find me on GitHub at Ashley Grant. You might be disappointed to see the amount of actual code contributions I put on GitHub. But a lot of my open source work is not code. It's answering questions on Stack Overflow, helping people on Twitter. Not everybody who's in open source is pumping out code and having really dark green blocks on their GitHub homepage. Some of us, our page looks like a dead lawn.
Me too.
But I do want to talk about that, though, for a second, if you might humor me. One of the things that I've noticed in my career, and I continue to notice, is the idea of celebrity developers. You have people who, for one reason or another, everybody thinks they are a genius developer, and they go to conferences. they go to conferences and they get a selfie with somebody, and they're like, "Oh gosh, I can't believe I got to meet this person. They're a god."
What, like DHH?
Yeah, DHH over in Ruby. I've never met him at a software conference. I've met him at Daytona during the Rolex 24 because he is a very accomplished sports car driver. But for me, being in the Microsoft community for so long during the formative years of my career, you know, people like Scott Hanselman, Scott Guthrie, people, the hosts of .NET Rocks and everything, there are these auras built up around these folks, and people start to think that they're, you know, they're movie stars or something. And I talked about this last week on Twitter. I saw a picture somebody had taken with Donovan Brown from Microsoft, and they said they were breathless because they got a selfie with them. And I just encourage people to realize that we're all just normal folks. You know, when Donovan's walking through the airport, Scott Hanselman's walking through the airport, nobody knows who they are. And so, you know, if you're following them on Twitter and you're encountering a problem and you think they might be able to help you with it, send them a message, tweet to them. You never know what you might get. Just realize that we're all just normal folks and we're all just trying to do the best we can building great applications or just great software.
They do have one thing up on movie stars. They do something useful.
Like holding microphones.
It's true.
Yes. Adding value.
I don't know. I got to give Guthrie a little bit of credit because he did write the first Visual Studio like over the weekend. It was a while ago, but that's crazy.
I mean, I'm not saying that they're not amazing developers. What I'm saying is that they are just normal people like you and me, and don't feel afraid to go up and talk to them. Earlier in the podcast, I mentioned that I had had dinner with Mads Christensen a couple years ago. I ended up having dinner with him solely because I kept having issues with Web Essentials and I needed help. And I would reach out to him on Twitter. And eventually we became friends through that. I didn't treat him like some programming god. And I say that as someone who I think has been among the worst fanboy developers of all time in my past. The first time I attended Build, I met Scott Hanselman. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so crazy. I just met Scott Hanselman. But I've realized that type of thing is kind of silly. And just get out there and, you know, talk to people.
Thank you, Ashley. We appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today.
It's been fun. We should have to do this again sometime.
That was Ashley Grant. Ashley is a developer, pilot, Aurelia community lead, Microsoft MVP, motorsports enthusiast, and Florida State Seminole.
If you liked this episode, please like, rate, and review on iTunes.
Find show notes, blog posts, and more at sixfiguredev.com.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at SixFigureDev.
This has been another episode of the Six Figure Developer Podcast, helping others reach their potential. I am John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I am John Ash.